Well, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the Cattlemen's Congress Conversation. A chance to catch up on the nation's best beef cattle show, put on by cattlemen for cattlemen. Now here's your host, Mr. Ron Hayes.
Thanks, Kirby, and welcome to another edition of Cattlemen's Congress Conversation. This is actually season three as we are offering up a preview of the up-and-coming Cattlemen's Conference that Cattlemen's Congress is a part of. Cattlemen's Congress, OSU, Oklahoma State University Extension, and the Noble Research Institute are partnering for part two of Cattlemen's Conference in May in Stillwater on the campus of Oklahoma State University. We've got a couple of folks that are going to tell us a little bit more about what's going to be happening, including quite a conversation looking back as well as into 2024 with Dr. Mark Johnson from the Animal Science Department at OSU. And we've also got some comments on the land stewardship side of things from Hugh Aljo of the Noble Research Institute. Let's start now with our conversation with Dr. Mark Johnson. Mark, you are have been lead both last year and again in 2024 for a very unique conference. A look at where we are in the purebred seed stock industry and the cattle industry in general and where we may need to go and where we are going. Cattlemen's Conference, what we called it last year, and it's part two for 2024. Let's recap 2023. What did we learn, you think, when some great minds came together?
You know, Ron, I'll go back even farther. We had the idea for our cattle conference last year. We called it the Blueprint for the Future. But we arrived at that name as we look back to Dr. Todeshek's National Beef Conferences that he had in the 80s here at OSU. We had the Steer Symposium in 1982, which was really a turning point. And then we had the Blueprint for the Right Kind Conference in 1988. A lot of great speakers. I was a graduate student helping with that conference in 1988, and Dr. Todeshek and Gerald Callahan and Bob Kropp and Charles McPeak put that together and spent 2 days talking about the things that were relevant in 1988, and we needed to moderate the mature size, we needed to shorten the growth curve, and we needed to use genetic values in these things that we called EPDs. And, you know, that conference was really a watershed event. And you think about what's happened in the 35 years since then, mm-hmm. and genetic values and EPDs have become a mainstream part of selection and mating decisions. And so when we started having the Cattlemen's Congress show, Gerald Callahan and I spoke and talked and talked about what a neat venue that would be to have educational programs. And as we did, the topics that, you know, needed to be addressed, you know, right now in modern beef production. And we determined that the show during Cattlemen's Congress, there were too many activities, too many marketing, sale, and shows going on to try to fit it in there. And so it became a cooperative idea between Cattlemen's Congress and Oklahoma State University. Then the Noble Research Institute came on board and wanted to share their ideas. And we really spent a couple years planning that first one that we had last May. And we got into a variety of topics. And they were the hot-button topics, if you will. They were the things that we in the cattle business were concerned with at that time. And we can talk about, you know, each one of those specifically and put together a great set of speakers. Had a lot of great panel discussions, mm-hmm. and those variety of topics, by the time we were done, and Jack Ward from the Hereford Association was summarizing that information after 2 days of the conference, and where do we go from here? We had all discussed that, you know, there were some more things we needed to get into, and so we planned the Blueprint for the Future Part 2.
What do you think we learned? In other words, as you know, you alluded to Jack Ward's comments there at the tail end, what did we carry out of that meeting, and maybe we've been able to ruminate on those since that time?
You know, of all the topics we got into last year, and we talked about land stewardship, and you know, we were just coming out of a drought, and you know, a year ago in May, we were hoping we got back to normal rainfall, which fortunately we did. We were talking about late day morbidity in feedlot cattle, which that was becoming an increasing problem. And we had some of the foremost experts that had dealt with that. And we continue to move forward on that topic and learn more and more. And we see more educational programming about late-day morbidity in feedlot cattle. In fact, there's a seminar next week that I'm going to be setting in on. We talked about integrity and ethics in marketing and beef cattle photography and the show ring and some really successful breeders and marketers that came and set in on those panel discussions that gave our audience the opportunity to interact with those industry leaders and ask questions. And we've got a nice headquarters for this event. We had a really nice banquet last year and a great keynote speaker that addressed greenhouse gas emissions and some of the unique things that we are learning there that are a good news story for the cattle business, and some of the stuff that they've discovered in dairy operations that's going to pertain to us in the beef industry. But the point of this conference is to it allows people to interact and to become informed. And it really, if you come and set in on the 2 days of the conference, you get access to a lot of information, access to the people that are on that cutting edge with this information, and it empowers you to go home being more informed and being able to make better management decisions for your beef business. And the feedback we got last year is this was an empowering event, that the people that came to it, they left having a better idea about things. And it has led to some changes that we've already seen. We address the concept of photo editing or photoshopping some of the pictures of cattle that were going in sales. I just dropped this one as an example. And we have seen some action taken by the board of directors at some of our registries that there's going to be a review process on these pictures that go into advertisements. And you were there, and you may recall, we had the live cattle, and then we had pictures of the cattle, and you were asked to match up the picture to the heifer. In some cases, we had heavily photoshopped pictures that looked nothing like the heifer standing there live, and in other cases, you had an honest picture that looked like the heifer standing there live. And so, you know, it was things like that that we did, and we have addressed this from a genetics, a selection and mating standpoint, a management standpoint. We had speakers come in last year to talk about emerging trends in consumer demand and how they view beef products. We looked at things like what is going on as far as genetic trend in the cattle industry and what is becoming the norm of finishing pens of cattle to heavier weights as we see higher percentage of them reaching premium quality grades than we've ever seen before. And again, a lot of these are good news stories, but it's just that information that permits people from all parts of the industry to get together, interact, swap ideas, and go home with better ideas with which to manage their program.
Given all that, we did a lot of good things this last year in that first Cattlemen's Conference, part two coming up. What's the objective in 2024?
The objective is to follow up on the topics that we didn't have quite enough time to get to last year. And so we literally began 30 minutes after the conclusion of last year's conference. My late friend Gerald Callahan and I were sitting out there at the arena, and from the feedback and discussions we'd had over the course of 2 days, Hugh Aljo from NRI, Mark McCulley of American Angus, Jack Ward from the American Hereford Association, we had all spoken and talked about it and decided we need a part two. And here are our important topics that we know we need to get to in part two. And, you know, one of them that immediately came to mind, this what's going on with gene editing in beef cattle and in the beef industry. And I think all of us have heard something CRISPR technology, gene editing, what's going on in some animal or another. And this is a fascinating and interesting area that is going to impact all of us. And not just in meat animals, but in humans. And there's going to be decisions to be made. It's important to be informed. And so we're going to have a great set of panelists that come in, and we're going to talk about the evolution of technology from when we had the big breakthrough of being able to freeze beef semen and preserve it forever. From the evolution of doing, embryo transfer work, flushing cows, in vitro fertilization. And we fast forward and start talking about gene editing technology. And there have been some successful gene edits that are very significant. There are some of those that are still pending approval. And we got two different panel discussions on that topic. About 10 people coming in that are leaders in this area. And all the way through, the backside of this is what is going to be the consumer's perception of this beef product that results from some of these technologies. And really, getting at the question, technology is the solution to gaining sustainability and efficiency and improving profit margins. How do we balance that with consumer acceptance of these products? Obviously, they got to be proven to be safe, and they are being proven to be safe. Mm-hmm. But we get into those topics and different people weighing in on different areas of that.
I guess what the consumer looks at, what's in it for me, and they also they've got that overarching idea of they want to make sure that the animal is taken care of. Animal well-being seems to be very much on the minds of a lot of our consumers.
Most definitely. And as we think about many of the topics in this conference, the gene editing that we're discussing, if you've got animals that have got resistance, genetic resistance to certain disease, what impact does that have? Well, that potentially reduces the use of antibiotics. That potentially increases the health and well-being of the animals. That reduces the carbon footprint and potentially methane emissions. It creates efficiency all the way through the production chain that, as a result of that, we kind of misspeaking here, but long term, we can produce food more efficiently. In this country, we have been blessed for over 200 years by the ability to produce food. The American consumer spends a smaller percentage of their disposable income for food than any other country in the world. Long-term success story. A lot of that is based on the things we have learned through scientific research, land-grant universities, places like Oklahoma State University, and improving these efficiencies along the way. And we're looking at the next chapter of doing that.
You mentioned the keynoter last year, Dr. Mint Lerner from UC Davis. He's obviously one of the experts when it comes to the methane conversation for beef cattle. And, we've got some things looking at it right now where we can actually maybe reduce methane emissions as well as the cycle itself that is a good news story for the beef industry.
Dr. Mint Lerner's information last year was really interesting. The dairies that are capturing methane from lagoons and then using it to power motor vehicles that are part of the dairy operation. It's very interesting stuff.
Give us maybe a quick overview of what the schedule looks like for the Cattlemen's Conference 2024.
Well, we've talked about the gene editing. That's actually day two. We've got two panel discussions on day two. We're going to start on Wednesday the 22nd. Our first panel discussion, our first speakers, we're addressing the topic of selection and mating relative to your marketing endpoint in a beef operation. We have known for years reproductive traits are low inheritability and really respond to crossbreeding in a big way. Growth traits are moderate inheritability and they have moderate degrees of heterosis when we crossbreed. Carcass traits are highly heritable and don't show much benefit from crossbreeding. So, relative to a commercial cow-calf operation that sells their calves at weaning, or holds on to them and markets them as yearlings, or retains ownership all the way through finishing, selling them on a carcass value basis, what are the things we should be looking at in a selection and mating program relative to creating profit potential in our operation? We have got some speakers coming in on this topic that are doing some really different things as far as selection and mating and the breeds that are involved, and are involved in different marketing endpoints. So you got a variety of different ideas that have proven to be very successful based on this topic. Dr. Peel and I are working with scientists from Meat Animal Research Center and taking some of that data collected up there in Nebraska over time, and going to do an economic simulation to look at how additive genetic merit, hybrid vigor, relative to different marketing endpoints works given the current market and the value of calves or finished cattle or yearlings. And so that's the first afternoon and how we get launched.
Folks, we're going to jump in at this point, and Mark will continue to describe the timeline into the evening and into day two of Cattlemen's Conference Part 2. But in the latter part of the afternoon of day one, it'll be, as he mentioned, land stewardship, and that's being handled by the Noble Research Institute. Hugh Aljo is with us now to give us a quick rundown on what they've got in mind. What's on the agenda from a Noble perspective?
Well, on the agenda from the Noble perspective, we're still focusing around soil health and on our grazing lands. We have Jason Roundtree from Michigan State coming in and talking a little bit more about our three, what we call the 3M project, management, monitoring, and metrics, and what the initial data is telling us and why that is important for us. Why do we need to be monitoring carbon and what it means to us as agricultural producers and society as a whole? So he's going to be covering a little bit about the information we have there. I'm going to be talking a little bit more about the economics of transition on Noble's ranches. We've made some major changes. There's an economic effect and impact. We want to show the good, the bad, and the ugly. But in reality, we are very pleased with the outcomes, and we just want to be able to present that to just show what actual monitoring of the financials look like in addition to some of the information we would be monitoring as far as the land.
So you're going to show some real-time results, huh?
We're going to show real-time results on the Noble Ranches, 13,500 acres. Surely we have something that's representative of most of the people in the state of Oklahoma. But in reality, what we want to do is just show our example. It's our context. Just gives people an example of what could be done, and then let them ask questions. So hopefully it'll open up a dialogue, and that's what we'd really like to do.
Hugh Aljo from the Noble Research Institute, of course, helping put together this Cattlemen's Conference Part 2. Let's continue with Dr. Mark Johnson from OSU, Oklahoma State University, about the timeline of Cattlemen's Conference Part 2 as we move into supper time, the banquet of day one.
We'll move on to our banquet that evening. Dr. Allison Van Immenam from Cal Davis is going to come in. She'll be our keynote speaker. We'll have a certified Angus beef steak that night at the West Watkins Center. Allison will talk about what is going on globally, and not just in farm animals we think of, but globally in meat animal species as far as gene editing. And that leads into those panel discussions the second day, where we talked about earlier, and two different panel discussions there.
She is, but literally one of the leading experts on all of that.
Oh, definitely. That's why she's our keynote speaker, and and she has spoken to a lot of groups and presented a lot of important information to people across the globe to help make decisions of how to progressively move forward and use this technology to our advantage.
So that day two will be focused primarily on gene editing, various facets of that?
Yes. Our two panel discussions that we start with on Thursday, May 23rd, are the two panels on the gene editing topic, and kind of move in from the evolution of the technology and the history of it, kind of where we are now, to moving into that second one, where we have speakers from NCBA and breed registries and some competing protein sources, getting at it from the other angle or of what is going to be the consumer's perception of this. What are the policymakers' current opinions on this? And all those things will shape where we go from here. You know, the interesting thing I would add here, Ron, is we've all got opinions and information and things that we can read about, see here in one news outlet or another. The consuming public has an opinion about all these topics as well. And we need to be proactive in the beef industry to become informed and empowered based on this information to weigh in to how to move forward and how to produce beef as cost effectively as possible to improve the economics of it from both sides of the equation. And we have a responsibility as an industry to be informed and empowered and capable of weighing in on those discussions, because we really don't want to leave it in the hands of people that aren't in the beef industry to be making these decisions. And so the objective of the conferences and in the theme that Dr. Todashek arrived at years ago is to provide information, give everybody the opportunity to interact with folks that are from academia, they're from beef production. These are boots on the ground people that are managing beef operations from the cow-calf sector, purebred operations, all the way through finishing, yearlings. These people represent industry, they represent academia, and they've all got their own perspective, but it gives us that opportunity to come in and collectively get well-informed from the panel of people that will be there.
Okay, so we've talked a lot about where we've been, what's ahead for this part two. Guys interested in coming, but maybe first of all, who should come and how do they get information to register and everything?
Great question, Ron. And we encourage everybody in the beef industry to come. I think if you run a grocery store and you feature beef, you're going to learn things at this conference. If you're a commercial cow-calf operation, if you run yearlings, if you're involved in the feedlot sector, the packing sector, if you work with purebred seed stock, there's going to be something to help you become informed. Again, as a cross-section of industry leaders from academia, extension, beef production, all facets of it. And I think we do have something to offer to everyone. So we encourage everyone that is interested in any of these topics that are going to impact our future in this business to attend. Cost of registration and attending the conference is $200. If you are in the Oklahoma State University Cooperative Extension branch, there's actually a password you can type in, educator, and get a $100 fee. Now, that covers all your meals during the conference. It covers that certified Angus beef steak that we have at the banquet that first night of the conference. All costs associated with it are covered for that fee. You can go to cattleconference.com is the website that is set up for this. You can get the complete schedule, names of the speakers. The enrollment information is all right there at your disposal. We steer people that direction for more information and to register for the conference.
Biggest goal that you'd like to see, the takeaway at the end of those 2 days, as people have had a chance to sit and hear and to interact, what's the hope?
I think the ultimate goal is people leave with information, knowledge, and are empowered to make better decisions for their beef business.
Thank you, Mark. Dr. Mark Johnson out of Oklahoma State University talking about Cattlemen's Conference Part 2. This is a world-class program. It's been developed. It'll be happening at the Todashek Arena at Oklahoma State University the 22nd, 23rd of May. Details again at cattleconference.com. That's the website, cattleconference.com. All the registration details available there. And that is our first episode, or season 3, of Cattlemen's Congress Conversation. I'm Ron Hayes. Hope to see you
at the 2024 Cattlemen's Conference Part 2 in May in Stillwater.